Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Biden heads to America's heartland to enlist the help of farmers who can offer relief from the global food shortages Russia's invasion of Ukraine is causing. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Biden's traveling to an Illinois farm.
Ukraine is one of the biggest producers of wheat, corn, and sunflower oil, but the war has wreaked havoc on the so-called breadbasket of Europe. It's disrupted global supply chains, causing gas prices to surge and a shortage of fertilizer to grow new crops. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says Biden will highlight how American farmers can help.
Just as we are providing weapons, we are going to work on doing more we can to support farmers to provide more wheat and other food around the world.
The White House plans to announce three initiatives as part of the trip. They include doubling funding for fertilizer production to $500 million, as well as launching plans to help boost crop production and increase technical assistance. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
In a midterm election year, the Biden administration is dogged by persistently high inflation. Today, though, the Labor Department is out with a report suggesting consumer price increases may be peaking. It says prices rose 8.3% in April from a year earlier compared to March. That marks a slight slowdown in inflation. Well, the power of former President Donald Trump's endorsement was put to the test in two more primary contests yesterday in the GOP-leaning states of West Virginia and Nebraska. NPR's Giles Snyder says voters delivered a split decision.
In West Virginia, Congressman Alex Mooney and David McKinley were forced to run against each other after the state lost a House seat due to population loss. Mooney was a Trump-backed candidate. He easily beat McKinley with 54% of the vote. In Nebraska, Trump took a loss when Charles Herbster failed to advance in a crowded Republican primary field for governor. Herbster was accused of sexually harassing several women, allegations he denies.
Charles Snyder reporting. The campaign of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is claiming a landslide victory in this week's presidential election in the Philippines, but an official tally is not expected until later this month. From Manila, NPR's Julie McCarthy has the latest.
Through his campaign chief, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. asked the world not to judge him by his family's past. Shortly after, Marcos Jr. appeared at his headquarters, saying that 31 million people had voted for the unity his campaign promoted.
I am guided by that in the sense that I will continue to work for a government that gives voice to everyone who wants to help.
Marcos's victory represents the family's return to power more than 35 years after they were forced into exile by a popular revolt against his late father. Marcos said Wednesday that in selecting his cabinet, political leanings of prospective members are not a consideration. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Manila.
It's NPR News. A predominantly black Illinois college that weathered the Great Depression, two world wars, and the assassination of its namesake is about to close its doors for good. Lindsay Jones with member station WGLT reports Lincoln College will shut down Friday after the COVID-19 pandemic and a ransomware attack drain the institution financially.
Despite record-setting enrollment numbers in the fall of 2019, the coronavirus pandemic hit the college hard, disrupting student life and dramatically reducing recent recruitment numbers. Then, in December, a cyber attack cost the college even more money, according to President David Gerlach.
It would have been, I think, irresponsible to continue to operate next year.
When Lincoln College does close its doors this week, it will mark the closure of the only school to have been named after President Abraham Lincoln while he was still alive, and the loss of the only predominantly black institution in Illinois south of Chicago. For NPR News, I'm Lindsay Jones in Bloomington Normal, Illinois.
It's been a long time coming in Europe, but air travelers in the European Union will finally be able to shed their masks starting next week. The European Union's Aviation Safety Agency says the decision, which was made jointly with the EU's health officials, was influenced by multiple factors, including levels of vaccinations as well as naturally acquired immunity. In the U.S., stocks are trading lower this hour. The Nasdaq is now down nearly 2%. The Dow is down 0.3%, and the S&P is down slightly. It's NPR.